Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Mathis Media Hub Radio. I have a fantastic guest today, Harold Dennis, actor and producer. Harold Dennis has been a working actor since 1997. He founded the Actin' Up Performance Troupe in 1998. At that same time, Harold was cast in the hit blues musical called I Was There When the Blues Was Red Hot. It sounds like a great musical. He stayed with that production for 171 shows. Wow, that's a lot of shows. He studied at Etta, I think that's the pronunciation of it, Cultural Arts Foundation. And I can read on and on and on, and I think Harold should tell you more about it. Hello, Harold. How are you?
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good now that you're on the show, so that's a fantastic thing. As you know, this is the second time Hal has been on the show, and so I brought him back on because he's such a fantastic guy. I love him. He's great entertainment, so there you go. So let's talk about your Acting Up Performance Troupe. I didn't realize that the last time that you are the founder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Back in 1998, one of my filmmaking buddies and fraternity brothers, Kenny Young, we were talking about acting and filmmaking, and he says I said it, but I remember him saying, let's invite some actors over to the basement and hone our abilities, work on our craft. And so we did. He invited some people, and I invited some people from my class at the time, back in 1997-98, which is, it's called ETA, just the initials. So we had 25 people.
Initials, mm-hmm. Initials, mm-hmm. ETA, okay.
Mm-hmm. But that's how they spell it. And so we had about 25 people coming through the basement on a weekly basis. Maybe 50 to 100 people had come through the basement over that year's time that we were working out during that time. And it was like we met religiously from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, and everybody was excited about coming in. And it was a beautiful thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. And, all right, so let's talk about your musical, because I'm saying to myself, I didn't realize that Harold danced and sang, right? I didn't. I think that's great, but you know what? I look at you. Even looking at you, you just look like this macho guy who you wouldn't put in the category of dancing and singing. Not that that's not macho, but you didn't seem the dancing type or singing type.
Well,
but you probably.
Well,
are. I know you're fantastic at it. Yeah.
Well, let me just throw this in there. Sing like a log and dance like a swallow.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's a blues musical, and I was acting in it, and out of the 171 shows, I had the lead character. We did it down at the former Jerry's Palm Tavern that was off of 47th King Drive. For about 2 years, we ran that show. And I played a couple characters. I'd go change clothes because it was like 14 characters with the band included. And we did it at the City Colleges. And so one of my other characters, I played Frederick Udig Johnson, which was a blues cat that wore the guitar on the back but didn't play the blues anymore.
Oh,
and
okay.
But then I'd switch to another character. In about 30 of those shows, I sang a song called Easy to Hold But Hard to Control. And that was right before intermission, a showstopper. And I really don't have any singing training except for one semester of voice lessons up at Northern when I was there. And so
you weren't bad. Yeah.
No, I got a standing ovation one time, but it was all
there
before.
You go. There you go. I think that's great.
The only dancing that I do is I like house music, so I'll go to house parties and house picnics.
You
I was
and
out
me
there
both.
Yesterday on the lake.
You're kidding. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is also, because I'm not familiar with the different techniques that people talk about, What is the Meisner? Is it Meisner technique? You've done that for 16 years of training? Yeah.
Well,
is that different from other actors?
Yeah, you know, you have a multitude of different acting techniques. And I actually, it's Stanford Meisner, and I studied that technique over at Green Shirt Studio in Chicago about 4 years ago. I went through five levels, level one, two, three, four, and five, working on different things. It's all preparation and getting ready for the performance to draw up emotions, not necessarily from past experiences, but it's all relatable to what's going on right in front of you. And the key is to pay attention to what's going on right there in front of you while you're on stage, and making the imaginary real type of thing. And it's a whole bunch to it, but that's the gist of it. And I studied over there and had a wonderful 15-month experience doing that.
Wow.
But, yeah, I definitely have 16 years of accumulated acting training. I've been studying with this guy, Ted Sorantos, which I talked about the last time. Now it's like I'm at 11 and a half years of studying with him, because he teaches this formula, things that you learn at other acting schools and stuff that he's been perfecting over the last 40 years. And 2 years at ETA, where I studied Stanislavski, and that's when I started, with the late.
I've heard of Stanislavski. But is it all about living, being in the moment, being in the moment when you're on stage or wherever you are doing a part? Do you think so?
Yeah, I think pretty much acting is being in the moment, and just the things that we do day to day, to be able to take a script and take it to the stage and on film and keeping it real, pretty much, just keeping it real and be interesting.
Wow. That you know, that sounds really, really good. I was Retta Gartney was telling me about a book she had written, and it was all about being in the moment. And she said there was an actor on stage who, oh, goodness, every night he was like, oh, I can't deal with, you know, repetition, and I have to say the lines over and over and over and over. And he took a class. I forgot who the class, you know, who was the instructor. But he was told that, look, if you stay in the moment, if you really, really don't pay attention to the audience, you'll feel a lot better. And he did that. And, you know, he said every night it felt different that way. So that's why I asked you about being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, wanting to know whether or not this was a trend through, you know, what actors do.
Well, you know, I've found in the past, and I've heard this said, that the actors really get into and enjoy the process of preparing for the performance. The weeks and weeks of rehearsal, the blocking, and the mingling, and the getting to know the other performers. And that's the excitement. Then once the show goes up and that first night has happened, now it's repetition. And I can see where the actor said he had gotten tired of it, because you can.
Yeah.
But, you know, if my teacher Ted says, if you don't have butterflies in your stomach, you better get them before you go out there. So, you know, it's like we have to get up for every performance. Yeah.
Right, right. Wow. And you know what? Why I love talking to you so much, Harold, is because it comes through your dedication to your craft. I mean, your training, how long you've been training, you seem to enjoy it. And you just hear all of that in your voice. So it's the dedication to what you do that just makes it so great to listen and to interview you. You don't hear that in a lot of people. Yeah, they're sort of hesitant or, you know, whatever. But I can truly see that acting, producing, creativity is your thing. So that's pretty impressive. Because we have people listening right now who don't know what they're dedicated to. You know what I'm saying? Or don't know how to dedicate themselves in a certain thing that they want to do. But it sounds like basically you're saying just be consistent. Just stick with it, right?
Yes. Before I started acting for years, I had no idea what it is that I would want to commit to for the rest of my life.
Right.
And once I discovered it and got that that chill feeling, I was like, oh, yeah, I really like this, and this is what I'll commit to for the rest of my life.
Wow.
I remember I got my real estate license years ago, and I was all excited about it, and got in the office, and I was looking at this one lady, which was real successful, always posting and always listing homes. And I just stopped in the office one day. She was sitting down writing at the desk, and I asked her, I says, what is it going to take for me to do what you're doing? And she stopped writing, and she looked up and smiled and said, give it 5 years.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, 5 years, I'll need it now. I need it right now.
I have five years.
And so when I started the acting, I was like, well, I'll give this 5 years. And then I was like, well, I'll give it 10 years. And then 10 years passed, I'll give it 15 years. And now I'm year 18, over 18 years. So it's a in the moment now type of thing, to where you just keep living and keep doing and do more. And that's what I've been doing this whole time. Yeah, just do more.
Yeah, like the lady in the real estate, right? Because she seemed to have stuck with she wanted to do. So
yes.
I think it's perfect. Yeah. Because she wanted to. So you're producing two feature films right now, producing two feature films. How do you produce two at one time?
Well, my buddy Brad Stevens, he was also in the acting troupe with me all those years ago. We've been keeping in contact and working together for years, and he's actually the producer of the film Chase that he's been working on for a few years.
Okay.
And he brought me on as a producer. And so from time to time, we get together and film some things when the budget is there, and we cast actors, and it's his project, and I'm signed on.
Okay.
And he has a character for me that I'm doing whenever we get around to shooting that. The second film is called Punch and Judy, and there's a guy that I'd met here in Chicago that moved to New Mexico, and we were talking on Facebook last November about producing a movie, and so he's finishing up writing the film now. His name is Justin Romaine, and he's there in New Mexico, so we were chatting a month or two ago about following through with the idea, and so I says, well, yeah, so he's about finished writing it. And I'm the actual lead character, and I have a producer credit on it. And it's basically about four guys making a road trip from Chicago to New Mexico. And it has a Breaking Bad theme around film. Yeah, we'll be out in the desert, like Ordeal in the Desert type of thing. And we'll probably use a replica of the RV that was in the series and that motel.
You're kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it looks pretty good so far. I'm excited about that. We're supposed to do that in November.
That sounds good. So what is your, what genre do you prefer as an actor? Or does it matter?
Well, right now it doesn't matter. When I was, for years, I was saying I love drama, you know. I found myself doing a lot of drama, playing cops and bad guys. And then all of a sudden, at a point, horror films started coming towards me, and I did a lot of horror films. And some comedy, you know, but yeah, I prefer the hard-hitting, emotional roller coaster ride films.
Right.
And sci-fi has been coming my way too. As a matter of fact, the next project that I'm working on is called Reset. That's a short film written by Chris Adams. And a couple other guys in his group are doing shorts, and they're going to combine them to make a feature. And it's like I'm a military guy and like the last man on Earth fighting a robot. And that robot's only mission is to wipe out humans. And so we go head to head, and there'll be green screen. He's sent pictures out on Facebook of the location, which is a huge abandoned place with like a rock quarry around it. And you put that green screen up and make it look like miles and miles of nothingness.
Wow. And, but, you know, sci-fi is very, very popular now. I mean, people are really going for sci-fi.
Yep. And I'll actually shoot that within the next couple of weeks. And then at the end of the month, I'm doing another sci-fi feature with called Barstar City. And that was written by Yatasha Womack. She's well-known here in Chicagoland, Afrofuturism author. And that's a low-key sci-fi, but it's centered around a location of a bar, which we'll shoot here in Chicago. One guy coined it as Cheers meets Stargate type of thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's an ensemble piece. Yeah. And it's nicely written. It's like subliminal and makes you think, makes the audience think.
Well,
so
we're
those are
take
the first two things. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we're going to take a quick commercial and we'll be right back.
Yes.
Here is a well-documented fact. Humans spend approximately 33% of life in bed. That's a good reason to consider bringing your bed into the 21st century with Function All Linens. They'll change your bedtime forever. Designed for every kind of bedtime you can imagine, these fun and functional bed sheets have his and her side pockets that hold pretty much everything but the kitchen sink. The pockets allow you to have your cell phone, iPad, remotes, and anything else you need within your fingertips' reach at all times. No more cluttered nightstands. No more fumbling around in the dark. Simply reach for your pocket. Experience the affordable comfort and pure luxury that only Function All Linens can offer. For more information or to order, visit functionall-linens.com or beddazzle.com.
Okay, welcome back to Mathis Media Hub Radio. We're listening to Harold Dennis, actor, producer. We were just talking about some of the films that you know, he has coming up, and particularly what genre that he likes to work in. And Harold works in them all. He's an all-around creative guy. But Harold, I wanted to ask you about writing. Do you write film or plays?
I haven't written anything. I've been studying a little screenwriting over the past 12 years, but have never put pen to paper because I was thinking it's not good enough. It's never going to be good enough. Or it takes too much time. I've from my understanding, you have a true writer, screenwriter, has to spend 6 months to a year to produce something worth seeing, which, you know, people get it done in a short period of time. They're trained and they have the experience and they know how to, where to put the plot points and turn each scene and blah, 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 and they can do it quickly.
Yeah.
And then some people just write films and they're just films, just screenplays, and they may be good, but they're not great. And so I would want to be great. And right now I'm pursuing the Harold Dennis actor life so that, you know, these, I can work on these huge productions because I am, I have put the time in to be worth every penny that I'm paid. And so I don't want to take off the time and go part-time writer. Someone else can write it. Maybe I'll produce it, but right now, or edit it, but right now I don't want to create a screenplay.
Now, that's interesting that you You said editing. Now, editing is a chore, you know?
Yes.
I think it is, cutting up a script so that it could, so we see what it is and what you've not included. How'd you get to editing? Did you?
Well, when I said edit, I was referring to edit the script.
Thing
where something else could be possibly done here, or this
is
too many words here, too much talk. Because in film, you know, it's show, don't tell, and so you want to do the film in pictures.
Yeah, and that's got to be, okay, so you edit a script that someone else wrote, right? And so how do they feel about that? Do you get any flack from that, from writers?
No, I haven't had that experience.
Okay.
You know, when a writer writes, they realize that that's their baby and this is what they wrote and this is the way everything should be done.
Right.
There's multiple stages of a film. You know, first is written and then it's shot and made and it's shot, it's written, that's one story, then it's shot, that's the second story, then the editor gets in there and cuts the film up and that's the third story. So it could go from what's in a writer's head to 2-3 different stages and become something else.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Now, you are a board member of the Black Harvest Film Festival Community Council.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that every year, this Black Harvest Film Festival?
Yeah, this is the 21st year of the Black Harvest Film Festival, and it screens throughout the month of August. So there's a whole month of films by African Americans and minorities that screen from all over the world. And like I said, this is the 21st year, and I've been a part of the council for, this is the third year I've been on the council. Prior to that, I would come in and host some of the screenings. When Sergio Mims wanted to take a night off, I'd come in and introduce the filmmakers and the film and conduct the Q&A after the film. And I did that for a few years. And prior to that, you know, I got my first film that I was in the festival back in 2005, 10 years ago. So I've had dealings with the festival for about 10 years, and an article was written about me, and I included the festival, and they liked what I had to say and invited me to join the council back then, and I did.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we just had a meeting last week preparing for this August, you know, events and things like that. And it's an exciting, exciting organization.
Sounds like it. And what about now? You do, you teach drama. I mean, workshops, rather. And so is that something new or something you've been doing?
You know, I found myself coaching other actors just off the cuff back in 04. I was standing in line, actually 03. I remember this one guy was hanging out at the house picnic yesterday, an actor. He was telling me he appreciated the time I spent with him back 12 years ago, and by helping him with his monologue, that propelled him to go out and do more and more and get more recognition, keep working. So I've been working just on the sidelines with actors forever, and I actually conducted a acting workshop at the Bronzeville Film Festival a bunch of years ago, and I did a acting workshop with the UNA Film Festival, it's United Nations Film Festival that happened here in Chicago for a couple years, and I just coach actors. You know, we'll meet at the library in a private room, and you know, just work on their monologues.
That must be a wonderful feeling when someone tells you, because of you, this is what happened and this is what the opportunities that I had gotten.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Wow. That's really something. I tell you, Harold, you are making it happen. You're out there. Now, you are on IMDb.com.
Yes.
And so it will be www.imdb.com. And should they type in Harold Dennis?
Yeah, you can type in my name,
and then my
pictures would pop up. I'm Harold Dennis 1, because there are some more Harold Dennises out there.
Okay.
And,
and you'll see this handsome guy. I love your picture with the shades on. I was like, how cool is that? Go, Harold. Go, Harold.
Yes.
So you are a wonderful person. I want to thank you so much for coming on today. And I hope to come on in the future, because I love having you as a guest. And I'm sure people love listening to you. So have a wonderful rest of your day. It's raining there, as you told me before the show. It's hot as you know what here, but stay dry.
Thank you so much, Joanne.
Thank you, Harold. Take care. And to listen to this show, you can go to iTunes under Mathis Media Hub Radio, and this show will be archived there. All right. Take care. Thank you, Harold, again. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Mathis Media Hub production.